You know our slogan around here is better practice, better life. But we're taking this belief to the next level. And we've recently announced the creation of a new association. It's called the Best Practices Association. Our association celebrates the mindset that is better practice, better life. This mindset celebrates time, healthy living, personal growth, clinical excellence, and impacting the lives of your patients and your team through intentional leadership. In fact, we are the work-life balance experts in dentistry. The BPA will coach independent dental practices like yours to thrive by sharing best practices and operational habits, behaviors, systems, tools, and insight that lead to profitability and sustained growth, and you can still have a life. So if you're a dentist that wants to surround yourself with great thinkers, let us help you create your own version of better practice, better life. Go to actdental.com/BPA or hit the link in the show notes. Welcome back to the Best Practices Show. My name is Kirk Barron, and I'm your host, where we take a look at the best business practices from the best dental practices all over the country. So I'm so pumped you're here. And today we're going to be chatting with a good friend of mine, dear friend of mine, who a lot of you know, who keeps me on my toes. Like, she's really, really sharp. Zanya Wine is from Golden Proportions Marketing. We're going to be talking about failure and the art of it and why your dental marketing fails. So you don't want to miss out on this. This will be a good one. Now, I always like to welcome people. If you're a young dentist, you know, over 38,000 of you joined during this thing we call the COVID-19 Dental Relief Conference. Some of you are young dentists. Some of you were in dental school. And some of you, like, it's just been so much fun getting to know you guys. And it's crazy because we do all this video and you guys don't watch it. You listen to all the audios, which I'm totally cool with. Over 140,000 audio downloads now. And I still don't even understand it, but I love it. So do me a favor. If you're driving right now, well, don't do this while you're driving. Pull over and you're probably listening on your phone or whatever. Go down. If you're listening on Spotify or whatever, see that little button right there where it says subscribe? Just click the subscribe button, because here's why. You're going to see every single week, I'm going to bring you a brand new expert in dentistry. We're just going to keep bringing it. And we're going to share best practices and the secrets from the best practices. And I don't want you to miss out. So make sure you subscribe. Also, if you haven't joined our private Facebook group, I want you to go over there too. It's called the Best Practices Powered by ACT Dental. And you're going to see there's almost 14,000 people in there just asking questions, helping each other. It's a great place where if you want to get connected to others that are like-minded, that probably have the same problems that you have, check it out. And then also, I get this question almost every single day. People are like, you know, I love the education, but what the heck do you guys do? Well, let me answer that question. We are practice coaches. We coach dentists and dental teams. So if you're a dentist and you own your own practice and you're thinking, you know what? I love dentistry, but this could be a little bit easier. Maybe I'm struggling with my team culture. I just need it a little bit healthier there. Or profits haven't been what they've been. Or you're looking at your financial statements in your dental practice or Dentrix or whatever, and you're realizing you're writing off about a third of your production, which means you're working one out of every days for 3 days for free. And you don't want to do that anymore. Or you just want to cut back on your schedule and just make it a little bit easier. Make sure you give us a call or join us over at actdental.com. We got a team of coaches. And heck, we'll just listen to you, because I want you to remember this. Dentistry is the greatest profession ever. There's no rules. If you want to practice 7 to 3 without a lunch and go and pick up your kids from school, you can. The only thing that's stopping you is your own thought process. So join us over at actdental.com, where we can change the way you think, change your practice, and create a better practice and a better life. And on the topic of changing the way you think, I want to introduce my good friend who not only challenges the heck out of me all the time, every single week. You're a dear friend of ours here at ACT Dental. You not only own your own company, but you coach me, you keep me focused. A lot of the people in our community know you. We have a lot of our clients that use your company, Golden Proportions Marketing, which I think is hands down the best in dental marketing. But if somebody doesn't know who Zanya Winans is, I always want to start there. Who the heck are you? What do you do? And why are you such a superstar in our community?
So what do I do? 20 years owner of Golden Proportions Marketing, which is an agency exclusive for dentists. But I've got even more experience than that because I happen to be married to one. So I have literally lived the journey from second year dental school all the way through taking the boards, being an associate, starting a scratch practice. So I have 30 years of actual dental marketing experience behind me. And I got a team of about 26 people who do everything from strategy to execution, digital marketing measurement for dentists to help them grow their practice.
Yeah. Now, you talk about 20 years. This would be a fun experiment. Like, I could probably list all the dental marketing companies that have come and gone, like some very big ones. And I'm like, where are they? You know, you walk the floor of any meeting, you're like, where was that one company? They were like right here. They're gone. You know, you have stood the test of time. And a lot of it is your core values, your company, all that kind of stuff. So I'm just telling you guys, she really knows what she's talking about. You're also one of my coaches and you coach us on marketing. So today we're going to be talking about the art of failure. Now, I want you to dissect the topic and the why, because failure is, it's huge and it's expensive. Mm-hmm. I myself have probably wasted hundreds of thousands of dollars on stupid stuff that never worked out in marketing, and dentists are no different. You're just like, man, that was a waste of money. Why is failure so important to talk about in dentistry and learning from those mistakes?
Well, I don't know about you, but honestly, I love failure because failure is always an opportunity to learn. So you're familiar with the concept fail forward. And everything that you do that didn't work out exactly the way that you wanted is an opportunity to get better. So the reason that I wanted to do this topic, frankly, because it's just kind of a fun one to talk about failure, is it's the number one reason everybody calls us in the first place. They tried something else that didn't work. It was a complete flop. They wasted their money. They weren't satisfied with their results. So I thought, okay, let's get ahead of this and start talking about why did you fail in the first place? So maybe you can fix the failure before it actually turns into a complete flop.
Okay, so this is going to be important for me because I've failed plenty. I think the important thing to remember is when you fail, like I've heard that, fail forward. You know, it's okay. When you lose, don't lose the lesson. You know what I mean? It's okay. Because I don't know who said this, but years ago, it was like, it's okay to screw up once, but to repeat it is stupid. And it makes you insane, right?
Absolutely. I mean, I don't, I lie. I don't love failure, but I love what I learn from it because I'm an extremely growth oriented person. So, you know, it's easy to want to be perfect all the time. That's unrealistic. But if you have the right attitude about it, you can just get better and better and better. So I kind of thought it'd be kind of fun for us to do a little Letterman style top 10 reasons your dental marketing completely crashed and burned.
Let's do it. You did not tell me what these were beforehand. So I'm kind of on pins and needles here. So let's do it. What's number one?
Okay. Well, I'm going to count backwards. Number 10.
Okay, number 10.
One reason why your marketing failed is one, you're just choosing entirely the wrong medium for the audience that you are trying to reach. So let's say, for example, you're trying to reach families and you decide you want to do a lot of Facebook advertising. I'll tell you what, the young families, they're over on Instagram right now. So if you're not on the right medium where your audience actually lives and is engaging with your message, it's going to be a flop. You're going to be wasting a ton of reach with people that just aren't your right target. So it's like, you know, let's say seniors, you're trying to go after seniors and you assume that traditional marketing is the best, print ads and television. And yeah, there's some value there, but 65% of seniors are on Facebook because they were following their kids there and they're catching up with their old friends. So you just got to be in the right place to capture your audience. It's one of the biggest ways that people are failing in their marketing.
Yeah. What if you're in the middle like me, like I'm 51. So you don't really know where to go because you know how your kids always razz you like Facebook is for old people and Instagram is like, you know, it's always growing. There's no limitations. Any thoughts on that?
Well, sure, it's easy to want to then like kind of saturate yourself across every medium possible, but that's one of the worst things you can do because you're diluting your budget. I would rather that you be really specific about a particular product and then be as targeted as possible with that audience. So just the fact that you're 51 isn't the only way that I'm trying to target. It could be that you're looking for restorative, or I'm going after people who want implants, whatever it is. So you can tie the product as well as the demographics to the right marketing medium. So for somebody like you, it just depends on what you're looking for.
Yeah. Now I know you're doing a lot of webinars. You know, I could turn this into a 7-hour interview and we can dive deeper. But one of my questions is like doing the homework before you launch is probably an important thing about the medium, because there's nothing worse than doing a marketing plan anecdotally. You know what I mean? Like, oh yeah, this is where I think everybody is. I mean, is that what you would suggest?
You are literally giving away flop reason number 9, which is that people aren't putting the strategy before the tactic. They're just picking the shiny object, the I want to do social media marketing funnels, or I want to do, I don't know, an infomercial that comes out, because they're excited by the tactic. So if they are not actually thinking strategy, like you're talking about, you got to have a long-term goal, you got to have a plan. The tactic fulfills the strategy. The strategy is the goal and the plan of what you're trying to accomplish. So if you don't know what that stuff is, again, it's just, you know, you're throwing darts at the wall.
Yeah. And I would imagine it's very easy to use the 7 most expensive words in business, which are, that's the way we've always done it, you know, and then winging it. But when you're talking about a strategy and tactic, I mean, you're talking like, give us a quick example, like a strategy and tactic, because I'd love to know. Myself.
Sure. So there really is a difference between strategy and tactic. And I think most people think of them interchangeably. Strategy is more like a goal. I am trying to close 25 new Invisalign cases this year. And that is what I'm trying to do. But my tactic is, how am I going to actually accomplish that? Maybe it's email marketing to existing patients who have potential for ortho, or maybe it is social media broadcasting an Invisalign day so people can come in and get a free exam to see if they're qualified. So strategy is goal, tactic is actual, what am I doing?
Love it, love it, love it, love it. What's number 8?
Okay, number 8 is that you did not think about what your target market was, because, you know, one is I'm choosing the wrong audience. The other one is, I don't even know who I'm trying to target. Do you know their age? Do you know the income of the person you're going after? I mean, you're going to have a very different target for income if you're going after families than if you're trying to target people who need implants. You got to think about what problem it is you're trying to solve for the person. That is also part of your target marketing. So am I trying to solve a problem of dark teeth or missing teeth? Or the fact that somebody just has like a really tight schedule and can only be seen in the mornings or late evenings, figure out what that problem is. And then the last part of defining that target market is really thinking about what is the want of the person you are trying to reach. Do they want confidence? Do they want achievement, like to grow professionally? Do they want health? Whatever it is, do they want convenience? So you've got to know everything from the geographic and the literal psychographic to, you know, where somebody is located. There's all of these factors. And if you don't even know what that is, it's just complete shotgun approach, because your message could appeal to literally anybody if you don't know who you're trying to talk to.
Yeah. And there's a lot of learning that goes into this. So you're talking about identifying the ideal type patient. What's their problems? What do they want? And then when you're talking about the other data, talk about this too. It's not so easy as pulling some stats for your area when you talk about age and income, because sometimes you might be serving, you know, patients that are north of 60 years old. Well, some of them don't have an income, you know, so you're like, oh my gosh, but they're sitting on a mountain of cash type of a thing. So it's not necessarily a linear thing. You got to sit down and think about all these details, correct?
Absolutely. And I think the best place to start is by looking at your own practice demographics. Just dig into your practice management software, pull up by zip code how many patients you come or have coming from a particular zip code. And you should also be able to see like the total revenue that is coming from that zip code. So you can see, are these people that are high dollars that have money to spend and are willing to spend it with you? It's easy to want to say, okay, my target audience is this super wealthy community that's 20 miles away from me. That's a target, sure, but that's a terrible target because you're not going to get a lot of people to come see you. We know people still have convenience in mind when it comes to dentistry. So you have to do a little cross-checking against yourself to say, is my target audience someone who's actually going to come into my practice? Because otherwise, again, big marketing flop.
Right. Now, this would work in any business, but you know how this works. Like, your favorite new customers come from the pool or community or like-minded of your existing customers. And mm-hmm. so back in the day, it was always like referring patients that were like-minded or knew of each other. But what we're talking about is maybe a combination of both, like finding people, like what's made your practice successful now? And how do we reach more people that are connected to those people instead of doing what most dentists do, which is just search for the new patient? Now, just say this too. I have people come up to me at Hinman and Chicago, and they're like, yeah, I got 400 new patients last month. And I'm like, that sounds horrible. Now, I can tell you two things about that practice. Number one, a huge percentage of them didn't even show up. And the second percentage of them, you probably got from a postcard or a plan. They weren't coming to you because of you. They were coming to you for other reasons. Now, that's not bad, but that's a specific marketing for that type of a practice. And I don't even know if there's a question in what I just said. There's just a challenge in it because some people think, oh, 100 new patients a month. Awesome. You know, let's face it. Is this true? Sometimes new patients are the worst if you're just looking for numbers, right? You want the right.
I can tell you that. I know of a certain doctor whose name I will keep private who is going through that right now. There is huge volume running through the practice. And he's really, really frustrated because they are not the type of patients he wants to treat. And that's part of the reason he's reached out. He's just getting volume. And it's roller skate dentistry. Nobody wants to do that, or at least nobody I know of. At least nobody you guys would work with. That's not a quality of life. That's just volume. That's the Walmart of dentistry. And we don't want that.
We don't want that at all. So where are we at? We're at number seven. All right.
We're down to number seven. Okay. The seventh reason that your marketing is a flop is sometimes your competition has just completely outpaced you and you didn't realize that going into it. Great example of this is Clear Choice. Clear Choice, if you are in a market where you want to do a lot of implants, Clear Choice at a minimum spends $1 million a year in a given market for their marketing.
Wow.
Good luck trying to compete with that. That's part of their national brand. Every single location, whatever city they're in, gets $1 million in marketing exposure every single year. So if somebody is just automatically at the top for the exact same service, you have got to find where they are not, or you are just chasing the impossible dream, and it's going to cost you a ton of money. And they are extremely well established in their reputation at this point in time because, I'm sorry, $1 million buys a lot of patient confidence. Yes. So if they're doing one thing, you got to pivot and do something entirely different. Otherwise, you're just an also-ran.
Yeah, I did not know they had that kind of a budget, but that would make sense. And so it's not about going toe-to-toe. You just got to think better, right?
Exactly. Or you got to find out what is your USP? What is that really unique thing that differentiates you from the Clear Choices that are in your market? I mean, there's room for Clear Choice, but there's also room for you. But you've got to find the message that is going to appeal to the patients who say Clear Choice was not the right choice for me. Maybe they don't want the volume. Maybe they don't want the aggressive sales tactics that come out of it. But you've got to have well established what is my USP so that your message can actually break through.
Yeah. Now, the USP is an important thing, and you've been coaching on this. Go just a little bit deeper on the USP because I love that component you're talking about. Is that number six?
Nope, we can dig deeper into this. So USP, an important way to think about it, often we try and find the one thing that makes us completely unique from everybody else. In reality, a better way to think of it, and this is in Traction, and I know, Kirk, you're working through Traction, my agency's working our way through Traction, is to think about the three things that are unique about you. Because if you take a list of every single thing that you do, it's going to be hard to find just one that is completely different from everybody else, unless it's like a brand new technology that nobody's touched before. Right. So list out all the things that you do really, really well, why your patients choose you. I say, read your reviews, read your testimonials. What are the reasons people are saying they love to come to see you? Do the same thing for your top couple of competitors that you're going toe to toe with, and then figure out where you are not competing with them. Pick three strong ones, and that becomes your unique selling proposition. Maybe it's that you do affordable care with convenient hours, but it's also high quality dentistry. What I don't know what it is. It's you're going to have something, but your USP is actually a little larger than just a single unique selling proposition.
Yeah. And I love this because we talk to a lot of dentists that say, hey, look, I want to get out of PPO and I want to be fee for service. And I'm like, buddy, you got to understand, it's a bigger journey than just writing a letter and raising your fees. I mean, I say this to every young dentist, and this is, or maybe this is what you're talking about, your USP, like you got to get good at something specific. You know, mm-hmm. our docs, like Barrett Straub up the road, he specializes in high quality adult restorative, and he's excellent at like things like sedation, or, you know, all the docs that we have that are completely fee for service, they're really good at something, like really mm-hmm. good. And people search them out. I had Jim McKee on recently, and he is a TMD, TMJ expert. While most people don't want those patients, his phone rings all the time. And he's like, no, they already know they're going to pay and they're coming for a specific reason. And I love these patients and putting the puzzle together. So your USP is important, whether you use that internally, externally, that's awesome. Love it. Love it.
Huge. All right. So let's go to number six.
Okay.
Your call to action didn't actually inspire somebody to action.
Wait. I got call here written all over my website. Why aren't people like, this is really good because you've taught me this. The call to action is key. What do I need to change if I'm a dentist watching this?
Okay, so calls to action have a couple of components that make them really valuable. One, there has to be urgency. I always say people are begging to be led. Tell me what to do, but tell me to do it right now. So give me some sort of a deadline before an offer runs out, or call now with an exclamation point. We need some sort of urgency. It should also be short and sweet. It should be like three words of what you want them to do. And it needs to literally be an action word, like some sort of a strong word. We did this. We test every single website that we put up, and we consistently study what makes somebody respond. And I'll give you a great example from a call to action. Those websites that use a button that says, schedule my appointment, do 2 to 3 times better in getting that call to action response than someone who says, request my appointment. Because schedule implies action. Request implies somebody else has to do something. So simple little things about just choosing very intentionally your language for your call to action can make a big difference.
Yeah.
And another thing, like FOMO, nobody wants to miss out on this incredible offer. If you say this offer is only available for the first 10 people who respond, like we only have 10 spots for free Invisalign consultations today. Maybe you have more, but nobody else needs to know that. I just know I need to be one of those top 10 that gets in there.
Right. Scarcity works for me every time. Even when Travelocity or Expedia says only 3 fares left at this price, I feel stress, or call my favorite restaurant and they're like, we have 1 table left. And I'm like, it does force us to take action. And those words are really important on the calls to action. Good stuff. Good stuff. Number five now? What are we at?
Number five. This one's brutal.
Okay. What is it?
It could be that your product or your service just sucks. There's a reason your marketing flops, and it might be you. And I know that's horrible to say, but
no dentist can deal with that reality. Yeah. No. Okay. So it's true. Some people, their self-awareness isn't very high. So I mean, we're not going to call out any names. That's not our job. Let's do a deeper dive on this one, because this one's important. Give me an example.
So if you spend a ton of money and your marketing actually works and people are then taking that next step, one of the first things they're doing is they're looking for social proof that they are not the only person who is going to go check out this doctor. So they are looking at your cases. Maybe your casework isn't great. They are reading your reviews. Maybe you have more negative reviews than you're aware of, or maybe you have negative reviews that weren't even valid. But if you didn't respond to them from the patient's point of view, you don't care if I haven't had a great experience. You don't care about the patient in general. So you got to see what your reputation looks like online. I have worked with doctors where we have uncovered reviews that they had no clue existed. It's more than just Google. They're on Facebook. They're on Yelp. They're on Health Grades. They're on just every different platform you can think of. And so you got to be aware of everything that's being said about you, because there can be some shockers out there that are just going to completely undermine all of your marketing efforts.
Right. And let's talk about that, because there's always a little truth in something. You know, people go, those negative reviews, I mean, they're important to pay attention to, because there's, you know, they're never fun. Don't get me wrong. But let's say you order from Amazon or anything. I order from Amazon almost every day. I'm not looking at the 5-star reviews. I surf and I'm looking for what? I'm looking for the one and why, to validate whether or not this is real. So critically important that you've got some good, honest feedback around your brand. And the dentist, really, I don't care if your name is like Oak Tree Dentistry or Spring Creek Dentistry. The dentist is still the brand, or the people, the core values are still the brand. The name of the practice doesn't dilute that. Would you agree?
I would completely agree, because it is the person who is treating the patient that they are evaluating. Now, if someone had a bad experience with the front desk, yeah, they're gonna rate it for Spring Creek or Oak Creek Dentistry. They're gonna say this person was rude to me on the phone. And frankly, that reputation could be things that have nothing to do with you personally. It could be how your team is representing you. You could have a hygienist who's rough, or someone who's very abrupt on the phone, or maybe you're just not even answering the phone. I've seen people leave reviews about that. So you got to be self-aware. And Kirk, you know, we use this language in our agency called above the line, below the line. You can either blame the patient, make excuses, deny that their review is valid, or you can be an adult about it and you can play above the line and say, I have ownership of this person's perception of what happened. I am accountable to the result. Whether or not I agree with them, I have to do something. There's some truth. And I am responsible for making a change. So if you're willing to play above the line, you can get past this reputation issue and then actually let your marketing not be a flop in the future.
Yeah. And guys, this is why she's so important to us as a company. The second you showed us the above the line and below the line thinking, I shared with all of our coaches and they're like, oh my gosh, this is a missing piece. Because in the world, I don't care if you're coaching dentists, you're working with patients, family members, people that are emotionally, mentally healthy for the most part, and they understand that they have a role to play in their lives, those are the people that you can often communicate. But the people that, you know, blame everything, take zero responsibility, you can't get anywhere. Remember, people that are crazy don't know they're crazy. So don't argue with a crazy person. So make sure you're working with people above the line. It's good stuff. What's number 5?
Well, that was number 5.
Number four. I'm having so much fun, I'm having a hard time keeping score. So,
all right. Number 4, your budget wasn't big enough. If you're not spending enough money, and I know that's brutal truth, but sometimes you can't cheap out on stuff. I would rather see doctors go all in and give enough budget to just one strategy and do it right than try and dilute it and try and do everything and give it just a little bit of money. I mean, I'm sorry, but marketing costs money. It's not cheap. And it is true in this world, you get what you pay for. So you got to spend money to make money. And you got to know that this is an investment, because it doesn't happen overnight. So like, you can't just drop direct mail one time because that's all the money you have and say, oh, it didn't work. It's a complete flop. It's that I know I got to be committed to this for 6 months or more. And that's an investment. And if you can't support that investment, don't waste your money in the first place, because it definitely will be a flop. I would rather you put all of your money and effort into internal marketing and DIY type things where you can get some sort of a return than to piddle your money away on stuff that isn't going to work for you.
The Best Practices Show with Kirk Behrendt is brought to you exclusively by ACT Dental, the ultimate provider of dental practice management solutions for dentists and their teams. ACT Dental is committed to helping you build a better practice and a better life. If you're looking to grow your production, motivate your team, get back on track, and create the practice you've always dreamed about, look no further. Give us a call at 800-851-8186 or visit us at actdental.com.
And there's also the other side of it. Sky is not the limit on what you spend, you know, so you've got to be able to invest. But give me some perspective. Let's say I'm a dentist and I'm producing, collecting about $1.4, $1.5 million. Like, what would be a reasonable budget to allocate on a yearly basis to dental marketing?
Okay, so I always say this really depends on what your goals are for the practice. Again, we got strategy versus tactics. So my goals are, let's say I'm on cruise control. I got a steady number of new patients coming in every month. Everything's good. You can be in the 2 to 3%, if only because 8% of the American population moves every single year. So you're going to lose some of your patients no matter what. It doesn't matter how good your practice is. They're just going to move. Some of the older ones pass away. So you have to have a little bit of money to keep them coming in. Right. If you're ready to grow, it can be in that 3 to 5%. Some people are like, I need to make serious major progress. They can be spending 8 to 10%. So, you know, it's always dependent on what market you're in. New York City doesn't spend the same as Pennsylvania. But generally, that's my rule. So if you're like 40, 50-year-old doctor, you're cruising, everything's great, you can totally keep it at that 2 to 3%. Doesn't have to cost you a fortune at all.
Yeah. Now, I like the reframe. It's not an expense. You're making an investment. I like that in team compensation and marketing. And then just shooting the breeze here, like, do you expect, let's say I do allocate that, Zanya, towards marketing. I mean, what am I going to expect as far as an ROI? Do you have a dollar for dollar format or anything? Just give me a ballpark of what I might expect on a return on investment.
Return on investment is going to depend on how long you spend in any particular marketing strategy, which is technically our number two. So I'm going to give you a little preview of what the second biggest reason your marketing flopped is because you weren't patient enough. People look for that ROI to happen absolutely immediately. Like, they expect a result overnight. Just because you've got paid search, like Google Ads, you are not going to see a response immediately. It's a good 90 days for Google to learn your business and decide how much response, how much visibility they're going to give you, because they're also looking at, like, how much is the user engaging with this ad. So your ROI, you need to give it first. You got to give it time. You got to give it 3 to 6 months on paid search, 6 to 12 months on SEO, like 6 drops on direct mail. But the ROI grows over time. So, great example. You know, we have our Smart Market software connects to their practice management software. So I can see not just how many calls did a website get, but I can see the revenue that was generated by the patients who came from the website. But what's most important is I can see the lifetime value of those patients. So I'll tell you, like, the first year we do SEO for somebody, you might see an ROI of like 6 to 1. The second year, it's often 12 or 13 to 1. And then the year after that, it's like 17, 18, 20 to 1. So wow. It keeps growing because the investment you made continues to stay in the practice, bring more revenue in every time they get more work done, which just keeps growing your ROI. So your ROI is going to depend on your strategy, but if you're not seeing at least a 3 to 1 ROI after you've given it enough time to operate, then you ditch it and we pick another strategy, but you got to measure.
I love it. Now, you and I haven't talked about this specifically, but I love understanding, and I like simplifying things as much as I can with the complex nature of things. But as far as the value, I love lifetime value, but, like, let's say, what's a new patient typically cost? Like, so some dentists might think, well, I don't want to spend $50 for a new patient. I'm like, no, you're crazy. Like, that's an easy investment to spend $50 for a new patient or to their value in the first year. I've heard some people say it's worth $1,000 in the first year. You're ultimately going to want lifetime value, but do you have any markers that you're like, no, that's an easy investment? Anything come to mind?
So we are always measuring your cost per lead and your cost per acquisition, meaning a new patient that actually converted. And it's going to depend on your strategy. So let's say you're doing Google ads for dental implants. Your cost per lead is going to be expensive. It could be $150, $200, depending on the market you're in, because your cost per click is high and not everybody who clicks becomes a caller. But your cost per new patient might end up somewhere around $40. I like to see a cost per new patient somewhere in that like 40 to 60-ish. It comes down over time because, yeah, that sounds like a lot of money, but if a new patient is worth $1,000 in their first year and the average patient stays in a practice for 10 years, I will sure as heck spend $50 to acquire a patient that's gonna make me $10,000 in the lifetime of that patient. That's better than the stock market. Why wouldn't you do that?
For sure. Very good to know. And these metrics don't lie. They tell you what's happening, right?
They really do. Yeah. All right, so we skipped over number three to jump to number two. Okay. Number three reason that your marketing is a flop is because you didn't measure it, which is basically what we were just talking about. If you are not putting call tracking or some sort of digital measurement on every piece of marketing you're doing, you might think it's a flop and it might not be. Because if you are just relying anecdotally on what your front desk tells you they saw as a result in terms of how did you hear about us and they record it in the practice management software, you're getting this like gut instinct of what they think they heard or what they heard most recently. So if you're not measuring it, you have no way to know if it was actually a flop or not.
Sonia, no. You know, I don't need call tracking. My team, they answer every call. Like, they get them all. Like, what do you think about that?
I put call tracking on our stuff because even my team is not perfect. Right. There's times where somebody is not answering the phone or someone doesn't want to mess with the phone tree. And it kills me to know that I have lost a lead that I have spent a lot of time and energy to generate. If you just trust people, you are missing out on so much information. And this is not about trying to get your team in a gotcha. This is about getting real with where your opportunities are. Every failure is an opportunity for growth. So if you're tracking a call and you hear that the call wasn't answered, that somebody didn't leave a message, that your team didn't build value or find a way to convert you, then that is a failure to find a way to get better at that thing so that you can convert more patients down the road.
Yeah, and you couldn't say that any better. It's not about a gotcha. I think the best thing that I get to see with teams that do call tracking is they're always looking for progress. We just need to find out where everything is. It also, if you don't have any data, you're just guessing. Like, you're guessing. And probably number three, I would say, is everyone's exhausted. Everyone's overworked. When you have accurate data, how many calls are coming in? How many are actually being answered? How many are being converted? Now you can make really good informed decisions about how many people we should have answering the phone. Should we come up with a technology that allows somebody to answer the phone when they're at home, whatever. Like, and you can also make good judgment about your hours too. Some people think, well, I got to be open all hours. I'm like, no, you don't. You just got to make sure somehow, some way we're converting the right type of patients. Now, that could be a whole podcast in itself, but I do love it. Having the data, without any data, we're just talking. We're just having a conversation. So good stuff. Now, are we down to number one?
Like, you're down to number one. All right. The number one reason that your dental marketing flopped. Because you made it difficult for people to buy from you. And we do this all the time. We aren't answering the phone, like we just talked about. 35% of your calls do not get answered. existing patients, new patients, specialists who are trying to refer to you, 35% of your calls do not get answered. This isn't just me with millions of phone calls that we have data for. This is reported nationally. Like, this frankly happens in most businesses, but the ADA also reports this. And of the 35% of people who you don't actually answer the call, 75 to 80% of them don't leave a message. They hang up, they go to the next one. So that makes it really difficult to buy from you. Your team is starting with no. Do you take Delta Dental? No. Next thing you're going to hear, click. So you're making it hard for people to buy from you. You have got to find a way to start with yes. Yes, we have a lot of patients here who have Delta Dental, and we do our best to get the maximum benefit for them. You've still answered the question the right way. You have not said no, however, which makes it a lot easier for them to buy from you. You got availability in your calendar is another huge part of making it easy for somebody to buy from you. When I pick up the phone and I am ready to make an appointment, you got about 48 hours to get me in, or I have lost all my steam.
Yeah, I love all that. 35%, that's a lot.
That's a lot.
That is huge. And I would also, you know, you and I have been friends for years, so this is so true. The no thing is really tough. So if we can answer the phone more than that, and we can get into a habit of engaging people and finding a creative way to say yes. Now, you don't want to mislead patients and tell them, oh, we accept that as full payment. That's not at all what we're saying either. But we're saying make it easy to do business with you. And then the scheduling thing too, a lot of dentists, and I've seen this routinely for years, people are like, yeah, I'm booked out 3-4 weeks with a new patient. I'm like, that is not good at all, because people are motivated when they call you. You're exactly right. Now, it doesn't mean you need to do a comprehensive exam. You just, sometimes they just have to experience you, because most dental offices would agree, if we can get them to come here, they're going to stay. They're going to like it and they're going to stay, right?
Absolutely. People are creatures of habit. They're going to come back. They just want to know that somebody is paying attention to what's important to them right then, right there. Yeah. Don't make me wait a month to get in. I'm going to find another doctor, guaranteed.
Yeah. Now, I love this. Now, you were holding some secrets for me about what we were going to talk about, and I'm actually going to try something new thanks to Len, our good friend Len Tao. So I was on Len's podcast, and he's like, okay, we talked about all this serious stuff. And then he goes, okay, I just like, can I ask you like three fun questions? Because as a attendee, so watch this. I'm going to try this for the first time. Welcome to the Best Practices Show podcast. Now, this is the fun part of it. Look at this. Now, we're going to ask Zanya three questions. And so okay. I'll answer them with you too, so you're not alone. And he gave me this thing called Poddex. Okay. What slogan or jingle got stuck in your head forever that you can remember of?
There's so many. Honestly, the thing that gets stuck in my head is like old songs, and they keep me up in the middle of the night. There'll be like some lyric from Billy Joel that just keeps cycling through my head. Right. So, see, now you put me on the spot. You would think of, as a marketing person, I have a favorite, but there's just too many. It okay. would probably Buy the World a Coke would be.
I like Dr. Pepper. Wouldn't you like to be a pepper? Okay. All right. And describe your sense of humor in one word.
Snarky.
Ooh, that is good. Mine would be goofy. Okay. Do you have a signature move or quirk that people notice or comment on?
Signature move. My children have accused me of this, that as I am making a statement, there'll be this long pause in the middle of something, and then I finish the statement, almost like I'm creating drama around it, even though I'm not trying to do it. Somehow it became a habit, but a lot of people have noticed that and commented on it.
Very cool. Very cool. Yeah.
And yours?
Mine is, I always make a face like, you know, or like, you know. Mine is often usually childish in some respect, not so much childish, like, but like a funny, you know, I'm always trying to, I like being a kid, you know, so I'll say, darn it, you know, or like, I love Napoleon Dynamite. And I'll go, gosh, like, and my kids will just, they know exactly where that comes from. So, and lastly, do you have a favorite t-shirt? If so, what's on it and what does it say?
I definitely have a favorite t-shirt, and it is from my dear husband's brewery, Jackass Brewing Company. Because of the name of the brewery, there were some less than enthusiastic local moms who did not care for the name of the brewery. So Larry and his partner, Skip, came up with a beer called Moms with Pitchforks. And so we have this great t-shirt that has American Gothic, except it's got two very stoic looking women holding their pitchforks. And in the background, instead of the barn, there's the Jackass logo. And on the back, I will say this is my claim to fame. My favorite tagline I have ever written, it says, "Lighten up, Karen. It's just a donkey."
I want one. Okay, I want one.
I will mail you one.
In XL, maybe double XL by the time you send it. But XL. That is good. That is really good. I did not know that. See, I'm learning a lot about you. Yeah, my favorite t-shirt says it's a blue one. My mother-in-law gave it to me years ago. And it says, today is a good day to have a good day. So, and I wear it all the time and people are like, oh my gosh, get over it. But I do. I mean, every day is a good day. It's a good day. Now it's a choice, I feel like. So it's good stuff. But the tagline that's on mine probably isn't as intriguing as the one that's on yours. So it's good stuff. Now,
like you said, snarky sense of humor.
Snarky sense of humor. I love it. Now, this is awesome. I always enjoy our relationship, our conversations. Now, if somebody's listening to the show, the podcast, I want them to be able to find you. And for the benefit of people listening on an audio podcast, Zanya, how do I find out more? What the heck? Wait. Here's one. How do I find you? What the heck do you guys do? I'm a dentist. I'm too busy to do all this. Like, what does your company do?
Okay. So I would hope everybody knows by now we are a dental marketing company, but we are full service. We're not just a website company. We're not just a direct mail company. That means that the doctors who come work with us, we find out everything that's going on in your practice. We write a strategic plan with tactics. And then our team puts it together, everything from designing a logo and signage for your office to an infomercial to you need it, if you need it, to you know, all the classic digital stuff from social to website, et cetera. The best place to find out about us is to go to our website, goldenproportions.com. You're going to see all sorts of information about services and a ton of examples of our work. Everything is completely custom. And I would say the best way to get a hold of me, just jump on chat. We've always got somebody on chat, or go to our contact page and you can schedule a time to talk. We'd love it.
Highly recommend it. Great group of people, fun company, and you guys always challenge us to be better. And Zanya, I'm just grateful for our relationship. You're just an amazing human being. So thank you for being on today.
Thank you. I appreciate it. It was fun.
Yeah. Thank you guys for watching the Best Practices Show. If you enjoyed today, which I know you did, just do us a favor, hit the share button, share with your friends. Keep sending us suggestions for things that you guys want to see, and you're going to see every single week. We're going to line them up, bring you some experts to give you a better practice and a better life. So until we see you next time, keep watching the Best Practices Show. You guys enjoy the rest of your day. And there you have it. Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the Best Practices Show. I hope you sure did enjoy it. If you have any questions, feel free to reach out to us. We are always here for you. And if you haven't done so already, make sure you subscribe to the show on iTunes or wherever you consume podcasts. And if you really enjoy it, you can leave a comment or a 4 or 5 star review. But until we see you next time, keep watching the Best Practices Show.